Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Yesterday, it was announced that e-scooter regulations are set to come in from next Monday. It'll see the introduction of speed limits, age requirements, and strict rules around braking and the lights front and rear, and indeed, if you've lights on the side of your scooter as well. The Department of Transport and the Road Safety Authority will also be championing a public information campaign. And here now is a first listen of the new e-scooter awareness campaign, which will be on television from next Monday.
Oh, I feel wrecked.
I know. My exhaust is exhausted. Huh. Unlike this little gasket.
I'm no kid scooter anymore. Look, I'm over 16.
I have air fresheners older than you.
Yeah? Well, I've been around the block a few times.
That's the footpath. None of us are allowed there.
Yeah, I knew that.
E-scooters are for 16s and over and are not permitted on footpaths.
Shush now, lads. E-scooter is the latest member to join our team, so we have a few new rules.
Hey, guys.
Beep, 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 beep.
For a start, we can all treat e-scooter the same as we treat bicycle.
I think I have an oil leak.
And e-scooter, you'll have to behave the same way as bicycle from now on. Okay, back to your lanes.
Vehicle reverse. Vehicle reverse.
E-scooters should follow the same rules as bicycles and be treated with the same care.
Okay, that's a television ad, so there were obviously lots of interesting pictures to go with all of that. You'll see those on your screens from next Monday. But joining me now to talk about the new changes, Sarah O'Connor, Director of Partnerships and External Affairs at the Road Safety Authority. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, this is a brave new world for those who enjoy using a scooter for work or for pleasure, but there are now significant restrictions.
Well, I suppose there's really good guidance in place now, and there will be new rules of the road in place from Monday in terms of how people who are on e-scooters can use their vehicle. And also, I suppose, for any of us who are not planning on getting an e-scooter, really good guidance for the rest of us in terms of how to treat e-scooters when we encounter them on our roads.
Yeah. Now, the first thing is e-bikes, bikes, e-scooters, none of those type of vehicles are allowed on the footpath. Because
you
sent me the
not.
Specification and it's quite clear, no matter what you're riding, you're not on the footpath.
No, I mean, look, I think that's a really clear decision and it's really important, I suppose. And that's one of the things we'll hope to really get across to people across the board in the upcoming campaign, is that the footpath is sacrosanct for people who are walking. And that's a really important piece that we'll have to help people to understand, because I'm sure we all see instances where that's not followed necessarily across the board. And that'll be really important for people, I suppose, to digest that and to change their behaviours accordingly.
Yeah. Now, you've rules about mopeds and they must not use bus lanes, for instance. How about motorbikes? Because I see them every day in the bus lanes and it, you know, makes for safer riding.
So the bus lanes are permitted for use for buses and obviously for taxis, but also for cyclists and for e-scooters. But they are not meant to be used by people who have an e-moped or for people who have a motorbike. Those are part of the current rules of the road. And obviously the extension to e-mopeds is part of the new piece that's coming in from Monday onwards. And I suppose really, Pat, some of what this does, as well as giving people really good guidance about what's going to be in place for e-scooters and for people who have e-mopeds or e-bikes, really part of this will will hopefully be a good revision for all of us of the basics of the rules of the road that we can all do with a little bit of a refresh on from time to time. So some of the changes that are coming up on Monday, as you mentioned, you know, really particular to e-scooters for a moment, if we focus on those, sure, will be that you can only have an e-scooter and drive one if you are over 16. E-scooters now, must drive on the left and not use the footpath.
Hang on a second. Loads of people under 16 have e-scooters. What's to happen to them?
They do. I think there's going to be a series of engagements between mum or dad or whoever has bought one at home, talking to kids, and probably deciding, actually, look, based on safety advice, there are really good indications that it's not a good idea for somebody under 16 to have one. And I think they will need to be put away until a child is 16 or over.
Now, do you really think that's realistic? Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, there's someone who maybe looks a bit under 16, could be 14, could be 15, actually could be 17, could be 18. You know the way kids are, they vary a lot. So the guard stops them. How old are you, son? I'm 16, guard. Or I'm 18. He doesn't have to show ID. Doesn't have to identify himself.
No, I mean, I think that's a broader experience, let's say, in the policing world, if you look at it in terms of the role of ID. I think probably for the time being, it's less about being fixated on that very maybe rigorous part of enforcement. And I think the conversation is probably where things are at the moment. I think there's two different parts of enforcement. The first is the role of the guard to have an educatory conversation with a young person and correspondingly maybe with some people at home if they're concerned about the age of the person on the scooter. And the second piece is there's a degree of natural enforcement. So some parents may not be aware that these haven't been legal up until now. This new ad campaign will make it really clear they're not suitable for use. They're not safe for use for children under 16. And so the natural enforcement piece will come whereby parents, you know, in the very vast majority of cases, do not want to provide their child with something that isn't safe for them. So it's a bit, I suppose,
but
about the parent piece and the guard piece working,
you know,
in tandem.
They've been riding it safely for 2 years, for example. You know, they're 14. They got one when they were 12. They've been riding it safely, and suddenly they're told, okay, son, you can't go to school on the bike, on the e-scooter anymore. Even though there was a cycle lane from my house to the school, you can't do it. Now, is that realistic?
Well, they may have been riding it safely, but not everybody has been riding it safely. If we look over the course of the last 4 years, so from 2020 until end 2023, there were 5 e-scooter fatalities in Ireland and 112 serious injuries across those 4 years. So I think, and part of the messaging about these rules going live on Monday is for us to communicate that to parents and to adults, to recognise that there are risks inherent with using an e-scooter, that you need to follow the rules of the road, and that that piece of guidance is offered in very good, for very good reason. And those particular rules have been carved out carefully by the department, looking across European examples to figure, well, what is safe and right and good, so that we are protecting our citizens and that the rules of the road reflect that.
Okay, now there are a few other things besides having to not being able to ask for identity as to the age of a person. I mean, there's the guard, the ID card that they use for getting into discos and all the rest of it. But that is not suggested here. There are rules about the power of the scooter. Now, how does a guard assess the power of a scooter? He can't. Is the guard to take an inch tape out of his inside pocket and measure the diameter of the wheel, which, including the tire, must not be less than 200 millimetres, about 8 inches?
So part of the technical regulations, Pat, that have come into play in terms of what people are entitled to purchase and what retailers will be entitled to sell is
online,
that there will be a manufacturer's plate on every scooter which indicates the power, the weight and the speed. So literally the guard will take one look at that and will be able to see immediately whether they are concerned that it is in or out of the spec that's acceptable for use in Ireland.
The speed limit at 20 kilometres, I mentioned yesterday on the programme that I was undertaken. I was doing 42 kilometres in a 50 kilometre zone, and I was undertaken by an e-scooter on my inside far faster than that. What's going to happen there? Speeding e-scooters. Because their limit is 20. Their limit is 20.
Their limit is 20, so we will be flagging that to people, and the ad makes that quite clear. One of the ones you didn't play makes the 20k speed limit quite clear. But for e-scooters that are capable of going above that, so there are some e-scooters that are capable of going up to 45 kilometres per hour.
I think you're out of touch there. There are some of them on the market that are capable of doing 120 kilometres per hour.
So there's two or three parameters there, which mean if they can go do over a particular speed, over a particular particular wattage level, those will not be legal for road use, for public road use. The guards will seize those if they come across them and if they have a concern about them. And we're really, I suppose, asking at first point of call for people to go back if they have any scooter to check and see if it meets the criteria, and to make it, if it does, because those will not be vehicles that will be legal for use in Ireland. It'll be really clear on that.
Some of the texts coming in: guards will do nothing about it. Blame the parents for letting their kids on scooters. The horse has already bolted, I'm afraid, says one. This is a bit like the mobile phone debate we had yesterday on the programme, where parents are, you know, supposed to be the policemen and women in all of this, whereas the tech giants get off scot-free in terms of what goes on TikTok and so on and so forth. It's a bit like that here. You're depending on the parents to do it.
To engage in this space. I think we've all seen unsafe behaviour across a number of different vehicle types, not only those on e-scooters, but I think the guards are very keen to engage to make sure that some of the really good basics from Monday are coming into play. So being really careful about the age, making sure that people aren't carrying passengers, not travelling at the footpath, obeying the speed limit.
How will the guards detect
being
that?
Being at the right place.
I mean, I detected the speed of the scooter, which was going more than I was doing, 42 kilometres an hour, simply because I had my speedometer in front of me and I could detect that the guy was going faster than I was. And many scooters are capable of those kind of speeds. So is the guard going to pull out a speed gun out of his pocket to check on the scooter?
Look, I don't know that that's going to be their first priority. I would expect that footpaths will very likely be first priority, footpaths and passengers, in terms of engaging with these new rules. But they can, of course, use a speedometer. The other thing is that many of us, when we're used to using the roads, we can see visually by eye whether somebody is travelling faster than we would expect 20 kilometres to be. And I would expect that's going to guide the guards as well.
They can How would they bring someone into court? Now, come on, let's be realistic and testify. Well, in my learned view, as an experienced Garda, I estimate by dint of my experience that this guy was doing 40 and not 20. I mean, that wouldn't stand up in any court of law.
No, I don't think it's about it standing up in court, Pat. I think it's about whether there's an engagement. If a guard has a concern about somebody on an e-scooter, for example, travelling too fast, they can pull over that person. They are entitled to do so. The person is obliged to obey the signals of the Garda. They can have a conversation. And we all know that a stern conversation with a guard can have a very substantial impact, as well as offering a fixed charge notice. In addition to a potential court appearance, it's not only the court appearance that can really give somebody a little bit of a fright and can have an impact in terms of how somebody uses the roads. Okay. That's a really important factor.
Now, the other rules involve lighting. They must have a white light at the front and a red light at the rear. They must have reflectors as well. The reflector can be built into the rear light, and it says you shouldn't dazzle oncoming traffic with your white light in the front. But I've seen scooters with just a glimmer. They have a light, yes, indeed, but it's just a tiny little, almost like someone pulled on a cigarette and it glowed. I mean, that's how poor the lighting is.
It's feedback that we get very frequently, that visibility is a challenge. And that's why those are built into the law, so that people are obliged to have those and obliged to be using them. And I think that's not only, obviously, for safety of other road users, but it's also for the safety of anybody who's on an e-scooter, to make sure that they have best visibility of the road in front of them and of any anything that they may experience themselves. I think that's a really important factor. And certainly, look, we have anecdotally heard that back across the board, and particularly we engage with organisations representing older people. They have felt that the speed and the visibility of e-scooters has been a challenge for them personally in terms of how they use the roads themselves.
Yeah. Now, there's no question of asking people to wear high-vis, because the human rights organisations get up in arms about anyone being forced to be seen.
Well, the RSA made a strong recommendations that we believed that high-vis and helmets should be mandatory. The decision has been taken at government level for the time being to make them very strongly recommended, but not to make them mandatory for the time being. I suppose for me, Pat, those numbers that I mentioned there about the people who have been either killed or seriously injured are pretty stark.
Eamon Ryan himself, the minister, had an issue about forcing people to wear high-vis, and he was someone who ran a cycling business. I can never understand that, because you know, be seen, be safe. That used to be one of the old road safety adages, but it seems to have gone out the window as far as cyclists.
No, it's still a very core part of our messaging. It's be safe, be seen across the board. So it's every single road user making an effort to be visible to other road users and giving everybody the best possible reaction time. Look, I can't ascertain where that comes from politically. I don't really think that's important. I think what's important for people to know is that for the time being, we really, as the Road Safety Authority, strongly encourage people to wear high visibility and to wear helmets. Yeah. We believe those are important pieces that can support and can prevent some collisions. Mm. And it will be really carefully monitored. I know we'll be watching it like a hawk. I know the department will be as well to see and to ascertain if a change is needed in that space. Yeah. I suppose, and we'll be looking internationally, and we have been at other examples to try and ascertain, particularly with serious injuries, because, for example, some of the clinicians are saying to us that they are seeing a whole new injury profile when it comes to e-scooters. So they're seeing, facial lacerations, people perhaps with broken teeth, injuries to chest or arms. So that's a whole new profile they've never seen before. And we'll need to watch that space very, very carefully.
And we must bear in mind that even this morning there was a serious collision on the quays between a taxi and an e-scooter. I don't know what the outcome of that is, but these collisions do happen, and they happen frequently. Finally, we should talk about, where are you going with no bell on your bike? Now, these days, many bikes don't have bells or any kind of audible device. Yet in these rules, it suggests that e-scooters must follow the example of bikes and wear an audible device on their handlebars. But bikes, most of them don't have them anymore. Because they whiz past me when I'm walking the dog. Suddenly a bike whizzes past and you say, why didn't he warn me?
I would wonder whether it's the case that they don't have a bell, because it's obligatory for a bike to have a bell and for e-scooters to have a bell now in the new legislation. I think the bigger question might be whether people are using it or not, Pat. And I suppose that's the point that I'm making a little bit about, you know, there's a bit of refresher for all of us in terms of this reminder of the rules of the road in respect of e-scooters. And I suppose I hope it will be beneficial for cyclists as well, just to have that reminder, particularly like as mentioned, we have heard from older pedestrians that they find it quite frightening when they see the speed of any kind of, I suppose, two-wheel vehicle like that, sure. And that the bell can make a huge difference to them in terms of feeling secure and using their environment carefully and safely.
Last question, do the Gardaí have power to seize e-scooters that they don't like the cut of their jib?
Absolutely. They have powers of seizure. Yeah.
Very good. Sarah O'Connor, Director of Partnerships and External Affairs at the Road Safety Authority. Thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.